All right, you guys ready to learn some stuff today? The sermon title, if you're writing this down, and if you're an OSL, you should be writing this down. Everybody should be writing this down. But what I want to teach you is, you know what, how we do it in Academy of Righteousness. We write down the series. I think I'm still in the fear series. You say, well, you don't even know? No, sometimes God transitions me from one series to a next, and I kind of don't know it till I'm down the road a little bit. So, although I will talk to you about fear in this, that's why I might include that in that series. So we might still be in the Freedom from Fear series. The sermon title is The Race to the Middle. Everybody say The Race to the Middle. Okay. Or I could say it like this. I could really say it like this. The Race to the Bottom. Or The Desire to Stay at the Bottom. Pastor, what's the title? I don't know. Pick one. You know what? Are you getting the message though already? See, there's this race to the middle. There's this race to the bottom, or there's this confidence, or this resistance to get anywhere, to go anywhere except to stay at the bottom. Now, oh God, help us. How many came to change today? I'm just asking. Don't raise your hand unless you did. How many came to change today? Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm doing this on purpose. I want you to quickly. Everybody say quickly. Okay, this is for everybody. Again, I'm asking, how many came to change today? Okay, how many want God to change them today? How many willing then, when God tells you to change, tells you to do something, how many willing to do this? Yeah, Pastor, I don't even know what you're going to say. How can I commit to it? Ooh, that's the trick. Amen. Right? Are you willing to do? Will you follow? Are you a follower of Christ? Or are you a follower of Christ if it fits into your comfort zone? Okay. Now let me ask, how many ready to change today? Here. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Did you come to change? Did you come to church today? Or did you come to change today? That's the question. So, Pastor, have you been listening to some black pastors recently? Because you're doing this rhyming thing every once in a while. And hello. Did you come to church today, or did you come to change today? Okay, then here's what I want you to do. And then this is everybody. Wherever you're sitting, I'm going to count to three, and I want you, did I say everybody? Yes. I want you to get up, and I want you to change your suite. Wait, before you do it, I need to count to three. And what I don't mean is I don't want Richard to sit here. Amen? I want you to change, and I want you to, here's the rules. Everybody's got to change, and when we're done changing, I want no one in the last two rows. That's the rules. Everybody's changing. And if you're in the third last row, you got to change too. Everybody's changing and nobody in the last two rows. Nobody in the last two rows. Okay? You ready to go? Yeah, you know the instruction? One, two, three, go. Wow. Now let me do this. This is honest. Let me commend you. And let me tell you a short story before we get started. I was a young pastor. I'm still a young pastor. I give you a chance to say amen. I didn't hear enough amens. I was a young pastor. I'm still a young pastor. And But I hadn't done a lot of teaching, hadn't done a lot of training. The congregation that I was with, and I was teaching a sermon much like this, talking about having a willingness to look at something different. It wasn't the same as this, but I wanted people to recognize they had to start to look at things from a different perspective. I wanted to teach them that, and I got this genius idea, and I thought, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just ask people to change their seat. How many of those, there's people like this, look at your neighbor and say, this ain't you. And you know what? They have this deal with where they sit. That's their seat, and they get real touchy on it. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're not touchy. Amen. You know what? A good name to a church, the church of the not easily offended. Amen. That would be a good name for a church. But those people hadn't heard a lot of sermons on that. They hadn't been trained very well in that. There was a lot of religiosity in the church, and I had this what I thought was a genius idea to, you know what, try to teach them. And I said, well, I'm just going to do just what I ask you to do. And I didn't even tell them you don't have to not sit in the back row. That was just a freebie I threw in there. But as I was teaching it, I said, I want you, I'm going to count to three. I want you to get up, and I want you, everybody on this side. I want you to come this side. We had a roll in the middle. I said, everybody on this side, come on this side. I said, one, two, three. And it's a true story. It was so sad. It was really sad. It was pathetic. It was hurtful. It was grieved the Holy Spirit, and it was so hard to be able to even preach a sermon after they reacted. But here's what happened. I said, count to three, one, two, three, and nobody got up and moved. Shameful. Shameful. And I was like, I know what happened. They didn't understand what I said. Because I'm like, duh, duh, duh. I think Christians should be nice. Can somebody say amen? I think Christians should be nice. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I wasn't joking. I was serious. I want everybody on this side to get up and go to this side. Everybody on this side, go to that side. And I was thinking, kind of, oh, maybe I'm butting up to a spiritual stronghold here. Maybe these people are like, hey, pastor, I know you're new here, but let me tell you how we roll. Here's how we roll at this church. The pastor don't tell us what to do. We tell the pastor what to do. You got this thing a little mixed up, dude. Let us help you straighten it out. And I was just like, I kind of did know that when they didn't do it, but I was like, maybe, because I am totally optimistic. I just believe the best in people all the time. I'm like, no, they just didn't understand. I said it again. When I said it again, like three people got up, and we didn't have a lot of people, but three people got up and moved, and you know what, and somebody moved, it was just like one seat, half a seat over, you know, another person moved their Bible, you know what I mean? It's like, no. Yeah, if I would have said something in Spanish, it wouldn't have been good, let me tell you. No, they knew what I was saying. But anyway, I just really want to commend you because and let me tell you why. Because you say, Pastor, that's not a big thing. I know that's not a big thing. The cool thing is that you know that that's not a big thing. And this lesson is a lesson that we need to learn. We need to be, you know, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. You say, well, is that biblical? Well, it's not a verse, but let me tell you, it's a total biblical concept that is throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. And we really need to teach people in our church. That's how, how in the world are people out there supposed to be comfortable about coming into our church unless we have this? And not only did you do it, but listening to the joy and the fun in which it was done. You know what I mean? Everybody else is, so I guess I will. You know what I mean? No. That's not what I heard. That's not what I heard. That's not what I sense. So you guys already are really, really, and I'm proud of you. But let's talk about change today. And I want to talk about change today, and I want to talk about this race to the middle, or really, you know what really what I want to talk about is about a resistance to go up. A resistance to go up. A resistance to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you, hey, I want you to do something different. I want you to do something, I want you to do something more. I want you to see, the Holy Spirit wants to be able to direct your life. And he knows he will lead you to green pastures. He will lead you, but he won't force you to green pastures. So it's very imperative that you become used to being obedient to do what he's asked you to do. And many times what we will do in the course of time, everybody say in the course of time, what we will do is we will be inspired by the Holy Spirit. We will be quickened by the Holy Spirit. We will come into the family of God. We have this incredible desire to be obedient to the things of God. We will do whatever, you know what, is instructed to us by our pastors. We will be quick to do it. We will be happy to do it. We flow that way. We start to walk in the blessings of God. And at some point in time, everybody say some point in time, you know what, we get into this routine of what we do, and it becomes simply a routine, and we break away from the abundance of revelation where God is, because let me tell you what God wants to do. He doesn't want to move you based on what you learned at camp 8 years ago or 18 years ago. Or don't talk to me about the revelation, what God spoke to you. And listen, 45 years ago or 20 years ago or 28 years ago. And listen, I'm not talking about giving him testimony and giving him glory for things that he has done, victorious things that he's done in your past. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you start to live in this revelation of what he said years ago. And now you're doing the same thing that at one point in time was relationship, but now it's just religion. It is just a form of godliness. And some of these things can even be, you know what? Well, Pastor, what you don't want to talk about? You don't want me to read my Bible every day? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. At what point in time do we just read our Bible because that's what we did yesterday? Why are we praying? Do you pray because it's something that the Holy Spirit instructed you to do 8 years ago, and you get up every morning at 6 a.m. and pray for a half an hour? Watch the difference. Or are you praying in the morning and getting up at 6 because you want to hang out with your best friend? Because you can't imagine walking through your day without talking to your best friend first thing in the morning. Do you see the difference? All right, you guys ready to learn some stuff today? Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And I want to start with verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read the whole story, because I want to take it in context. You know what? Sometimes we assume everybody knows. Sometimes we make assumptions everybody knows this story. You know what? How many are expecting unchurched people to come to church? Okay. So, and even if you know this story, let's read it again, because I want you to catch. I want to be able to teach it in its context. Now, Peter and John, these are very important figures, Peter and John. How many know Peter and John spent some time with Jesus? How many nobody, none of the apostles spent more time with Jesus than Peter and John? And how many know the apostles were literally with God almost 24/7? But these guys spent even more time with Jesus. Went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They are going to the temple. The temple is historically, biblically, theologically, Old Testament. The temple is where God resided. How many know that? That's where God resided. So, and we understand because after Christ died, the veil was rent, was torn, signifying that now, you know what, it's not just in the temple. God is in the temple. The Holy Spirit is in us. Okay, so we understand that, but please understand the context that this was written. This was written, Jesus had just recently rose from the dead. So the temple had these still very Old Testament kind of imagery and realities. Does that make sense? Yeah. To many of the people who were going in the temple. Are we together? Yeah. Okay, so watch this. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, these words are really important, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder, amazement at what had happened to him. What an incredible story. I want to talk to you about the race to the bottom, or the race to the middle, or your willingness to stay where you are. First point is this, people get what they expect. Is this not true? People get, predominantly, generally, people get what they expect. People get what they expect. Look at that second verse in the third chapter. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and he asked, look what he's asking for, and ask alms from those who enter the temple. People generally get exactly what they expect. And this man was getting what he expected. He had been there, going there every day. He's asking alms. He's asking for money. He's can't walk, and he's asking for alms. Alms are money given to the poor. And people who are going to the temple, you know what? There's a thought that these people are more generous, more considerate, you know, care about the things of God. And so that's a good place for me to go. And I'm going to expect that I'm going to be there, and I'm expecting that I'm going to get some money from these people. People generally get what they expect. I don't like men. Men are dogs. All men are dogs. I've been hurt too many times. I'm not going to open up my heart to anyone. Can I tell you what? People get what they expect. I'm afraid to go over to that church. They probably won't like me. People get what they expect. I can't afford that. I can't go back to school. People get what they expect. I don't remember names very well. I've always had a problem with that. I always had a problem with learning. People get what they expect. I'm too old to start a business. People get what they expect. I don't know what it is about me. People just don't get me. I'm too fat. I'm too old. I'm too poor. My background is people get what they expect. Here, let me give you another sermon title for this sermon. You know what? The danger of low expectations. People generally get what they expect. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. This man had gone and said, "My servant is sick to the point of death." And Jesus heals him. You know what? Watch this. Go your way, and as you have believed, people get what they expect. You know what faith is designed to do? All faith is designed to do is to raise your expectation. And I would submit to you that this man who's going to this gate has this mentality that he is going and he's going to get money. And that's what he's going to get. Remember the man who had been sick for all that time at that pool, the pool of Bethesda. Remember this story? And watch this. And at some point in time, Jesus is right in front of him. Jesus himself. And you know what he says? He says, "I don't have a man." Wow, that's an incredible statement, is it not? I don't have a man. Here's all I'm saying to you. Stop running to the middle. Stop allowing your past to dictate what's going to happen in the future. What I'm saying to you is get your expectation up. Don't just think that because your marriage has been here for so long that it has to stay here. Don't think because your finances have been here for so long, it's got to stay there. Don't think that about your business. Don't think that about your family. Don't think that about your health. Don't think about that. Stop running to the middle. Stop kung fuing gripping. You know what? It'll never change. I'll never have that. I'll never be able to own a house. I'll never be able to drive a new car. I'll never be able to, you know what, to give a, you know, I just talked or just listened to a preacher the other day, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to him, and he said, "You know what? I want you to give $30,000 away this year." And he thought, $30,000? I barely make $30,000. That year, he gave over $30,000 away. And the next year, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "I want you to give $50,000 away this year." And he said the same thing, $50,000? I don't even make $50,000. See, here's what I'm saying. Guess how much he gave away that year? Over $50,000. Over $50,000. And to his amazement, the Holy Spirit told him the next year, "I want you to give," watch this, $1 million. I want you to give $1 million away. Well, I want to say this. How in the world can you give $1 million away unless you have $1 million? Come on. So you don't understand what I'm saying. Is somebody receiving this? Because see, what I'm saying is God is trying to just get your mind bigger. Amen. He said that year he and his wife gave away $1 million. Amen. What I'm saying is stop running to the middle. Stop kung fuing gripping. No, it can't change. It's got to stay like, no, that is not coming from the Spirit of God. And that wasn't the will of God in this man's life. But he, watch this, he, because of this constant, what he, because of his repetition, because of that's because of his routine. Our routines are dangerous. Because they can trap us into saying, I will never be more. Number one, understand that people, and understand that you will generally only get what you expect. Amen. How many know that statement can be an awful statement, and that same statement can be a great statement? Amen. Amen. That was my point in the second story. This man at $30,000, he's thinking, I don't barely even make $30,000. But he gave it away that year. See, God will raise your expectations, but you got to allow yourself to, when he says, hey, you're down here, I want you to come up. You've got to have a willingness to say, yes, Lord. We used to sing this song. You know what? We say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your ways. Does anybody know this song? Okay, it's a great song, but probably somebody else needs to sing it. But that's not my point. You know what? To say yes, and to say yes is to allow God to expand your mind to say, no, Lord, I'm not going to define who I am. I'm not going to define what I give. I'm not going to define what I can and what I can't do. You know, I tell people all the time, and people tell me all the time, you know what, Pastor, but I can't come Sunday. I know you always say, go Sunday, and we go to Sunday, and I can't because of work. And I just tell them, hey, look, what's up? Just keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind. Just believe for the favor of God. Amen. Just believe that God will open up an ability. You know what? Just start to believe that you can come Sunday and Wednesday. Yeah. You're probably, why do you want me to come Sunday and Wednesday? Because you're going to get twice as much. Amen. Right. What do you want? You want a single burger? You want a double-double? What I'm saying is, first, you got to allow God to expand your mind. And what he, you know what? Don't put God in a box. Stop running to the middle. I love what Colossians says. Guys, you don't have it, but you have it. Colossians, the third chapter, the first and second verse. Colossians, the third chapter. If then you are raised with Christ, how many Christians? How many Christians in the room? Say this verse talking to me. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, you know, how many know in God is in a God of limitations. God is not a God of limitations. God is a God of more than enough. Look what he says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on this earth. The things on this earth are limited. You're limited to the earthly, meagerly abilities of men. Get your eyes off of that. Can God bless you with the job that you could come Sunday and Wednesdays? Amen. Let me tell you what, God can not only do that, but God can put you in that job in a better situation with greater pay.
That's right. Amen.
No, but I can't. Stop saying you can't. Put your mind on the things above, not the things beneath. You are different than them. The people without a covenant with God, they have to rely on their own favor. They have to manipulate to get favor. They have to rely on their own craftiness and all that, and you know who they know. And let me tell you who you know. You know Jesus Christ. Amen. Stop running to the middle. Number two. Most people do not wait, do not want to shoot for the stars because they are afraid they're going to miss. Most people don't want to shoot for the stars. Here's where the fear comes in. They're afraid that if they do it, what's going to happen? It's the fear of failure. Yeah, I think God is saying this to me, but I don't. Oh, but what if? But pastor, I've listened to pastors. You know what? I've listened to Christians who've prayed this kind of prayer. Father, you know what? I not wasn't so long ago. I heard a pastor pray this, and there was somebody, and their baby was sick. And here's what they prayed. They prayed a safe prayer. They prayed that, God, I pray that you would bless this family, heal this baby, unless it's your will. Hey, I'm just asking, do you want a pastor praying that prayer? If you're a mom with a sick baby? I do not. I do not want that kind of prayer prayed over me. And here's what they prayed. Father, I pray that you would heal that baby. But if it's not your sovereign will, that baby heals. Father, I pray that you would just comfort these parents. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Can I tell you what? How many would raise your hand and say, I don't want somebody praying that prayer over my life? Listen to me, because I set you up. Then stop thinking that over your life. So I'm telling you what, it comes down to, we just got to step out in faith. Amen? What I'm telling you is hope, the Bible says, does not disappoint. Amen? Hope doesn't disappoint. And you can step out in faith and put your trust in God. I would proclaim to you, that is really the only one who's trustworthy. Amen? They do it because they don't want to miss. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 3. Look at it in context. You know what? Who's seen Peter and John about to go in the temple. This is Peter and John. This Peter. Peter's the guy that they, you know what? And I know it was later on. I know that. Chronological. But it doesn't change. It's the same guy that they would lay people out and just his shadow hitting them would heal. He didn't even have to lay his hands on them. Just their shadow would heal. They were at one point just laying hands on all kinds of clothes and then giving those cloths to other people. And when they received them, they would receive their healing. And what is this guy? What is this guy asking for? This guy is asking for some coins. Are you kidding me? The race to the middle. Why are you asking for coins? Amen. Ask for supernatural abundance in your life. Amen. You know, ladies, you want a man? Pray for a godly man. Amen. Pray for a righteous man. Pray for a man who just is, you know what? Don't pray for the middle. Pray for what you want. Amen. And don't be afraid to pray it. Amen. You're like, oh God, if you could just give me like a little crumb. Stop praying those prayers. Amen. Start being tenacious. Start believing. What's that word? Anyway, start believing for big things in your life. Because can I tell you why? Because you serve a big God. I said you serve a big God. Amen. Thank you. Guys, did you get those pictures or no of the old outside and the new outside? You do. Amen. So let me tell a story real quick. Guys, show me the old outside first. Okay. So, it makes me laugh. I haven't even seen it for so long. That is funny. But let me tell you what happened. When we were Some of you haven't even seen those pictures. Like Laura's looking at us like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Anyway, let me tell you a story. So we go down I've got a great pastor friend. I said, hey, we need an awesome people who really know how to design. You know what? Brian went with us. Tamara was with us. Pastor Vegas was with us. I forget who else went the first time. But there was one more person. But we went down there, and what they designed? They designed this. Is this not an incredible design? And so they designed this. We're so happy. And then before they left, they had just gotten done doing this outdoor little patio area for another church. They had all the designs done already. And this is to get all the specs on this and to have a engineer design this where you could just give it to the city and is a lot of money. Well, they gave us like a gift of about, it was like a $10,000 workup. And they said, well, you know what, I think you should put that on the outside. I think that would be real good, which I think was a great idea. And they said, here are all the plans, about a $10,000 gift that they just gave us. You know, thank God. So to do this design was going to cost a little under $100,000. Okay. And it is a nice design. It really is. But to do this design was going to cost about a little under $100,000. Well, we had raised in the South Sanctuary for this project, we were just a little bit above $100,000, and I knew with timing we needed to start to get the ball rolling, even though it cost us about $160,000 by the time we were done. But we had raised $100,000. I knew I don't want to wait till we raise the inside and the outside. We were growing in the North Sanctuary. We were running out of room, and the Holy Spirit said, no, just do the inside first and then do the outside. So we did the inside. It was awesome. And the more I looked at this, the more it started looking like an outdoor little patio area. And I thought, that's not what I'm looking for. Let me tell you what. God did something in your pastor. Remember the Grinch? Okay, let's get to a story we can relate to. Amen? Come on, that was a joke, okay? So, remember the Grinch? And remember when he was, remember what happened to his heart at the end? And they show his little heart. I forget that wording, but the problem was his heart was too small. That was why he was so grinchy. But then, boom, 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 it got big, and then it got strong and all that. That's what the Holy Spirit did to me. And as I looked at this, I just started to say, what in the world? I don't want no funky little patio area. And I told you know what, Tamara, you know what? Grab your bag. We took Arlene and Brian. We took Auntie Norma. We took Tamara, and we took Pastor Vegas. Why am I taking those people? Because I wanted somebody, and I'm strategic. I wanted somebody who understands some sound. So I wanted Brian to come. I wanted Arlene to come because one of the reasons they are just such positive people. How many of you know you got to get some positive people on your team? You know what I mean? I don't want any Eeyores on my team. You know what I mean? And Brian and Arlene know that they can tell me whatever they think. I had them there because I want to know their opinion. Auntie Norma was there because she's like Tamara. She's got such an excellent eye on design and. She's just very, very, very good. Very good. I wanted Pastor Vegas there because she has my back. She knows she can tell me anything, negative or positive. She knows I'm not looking for somebody, a yes man. I'm looking for somebody to tell me what they think. So we were down there, and I just told the people, I said, I just want something grand. I want something awesome. See, we don't need a little barbecue patio little area. We need a place that speaks to our community. We need a place where we can put 275 chairs without a doubt. Amen. We need somewhere where we have, you know what, where it's like you go to the Hilton and you go to these outside patio areas and they got nice seating and they got propane heaters and they got these outdoor fire pits and you know what I mean? Hello, somebody. See, I don't want to run to the middle. I want to go to the top. Amen. I don't want to run to the middle. I want to go, guys, in the back. I want to go to the top. That's where I want to go. See, that is, how many know that is different? How many know that is different? You know, how many want to eat a burger there? That's where I want to eat my burger. Amen. And I can eat that burger and it can be raining and I'm going to be enjoying. It can be sunny. It can be rainy. I'm going to pull these things up. All these are garage doors. All glass can be lifted up. It's going to be stunning. That's what I want. See, I don't want to run to the middle. And even in this design, when we were down there, and Brian and Arlene can attest to this, they started talking about price. And he said this, and I appreciated his honesty. He said, let me show you. And he had all these, I mean, just stacks and stacks of, actually, I don't think he showed them to him. I think he told us. He said, Pastor, I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of plans that churches have come up with that never got built. And here's why they never got built. Because the plan was too big. Too expensive. And so, And that made sense to me. I mean, I get that. You know what I mean? I understand that. And so when we were designing this, we were talking about what the square footage was going to be. And we were talking about this number or this number, this number or this number. But I kept on just feeling the Holy Spirit was pushing me over to the big number. So I said this. I said, here, let's do this. The race to the middle. Huh? How many know you don't have a perfect pastor? So here's what I said. I said, you know what? I said, here, let's do it. Because what he was saying was making a lot of sense. Because at this point, we're going from $100,000. We're going from $100,000 to a $300,000 project. And so I said, well, let's do this. Can we scale it back? Can you give me the middle? Not here. And even the lesser was so much better than what we had, right? But the lesser was smaller. I said, don't give me the small, don't give me the big, give me the middle. Yeah. Race to the middle, amen. I said, Pastor, that's not the middle. That's not the middle. Here's what happened. I got home, and I'm praying about it, and I'm praying about it. Actually, I'm just praying, but I just keep on holding the Holy Spirit say, don't do that. Because you're going to build it, and once it's built, it's built. And you're going to go out there every day, and you're not going to be able to put 275. You're going to be able to put 195, and you know what? And that's not what I'm telling you to do. And every day, it bugged me and bugged me and bugged me. And you know what? And I called the guy, and I said, here, his name's Thane. I called Thane. I said, hey, Thane, remember we were dealing with the two numbers, and we dealt with the, and we settled in the middle? What was the big number? And he told me the big number. I said, that's what I want. Design it to that number. Yeah, but Pastor, that's going to take more money. Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. See, here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. Listen to me. In our rhetoric, that's how we roll. That's what we do. This man is placed outside of the temple at this beautiful gate. This beautiful gate. And he's placed outside, but can I tell you what he's not? He's not inside. He's near the inside, but he's not inside. He's outside. And what I'm saying is, until we get inside, we're not going to walk in the supernatural. We're going to be outside. And we're going to be close to God, but we will never experience his... See, I would say, you know what? When I called Thane and said, let's do the bigger, you know what? That's when we stepped into the supernatural, amen? It's kind of like you choose what you're going to do. Are you going to be laid at the gate again? Or are you going to allow God to push you out into a place that you feel uncomfortable? Because I would say that's where we want to go. Yeah, but it's uncomfortable. I know, but it's supernatural. You understand the difference? And if you stay there, and I'm telling you because I'm preaching what I know to be true, what is that uncomfortable? Because let me tell you what, most people, it's the race to the center. It's an unwillingness to let go. This is so corny, but it's true. To let go and let God. No, but that's my routine. That's what I do. This is what I feel comfortable. And watch this. And even in our religiosity, that's what I do. That's what I feel comfortable. You know what? But I'm reading my Bible, Pastor. But you know what? But I'm going to church. But I'm praying. No. But you've been doing that for so long. And I'm not saying necessarily, because maybe somebody in this room is going to church and they're reading their Bible and they're connecting with God, and praise God, that's good. But let me tell you about every single person in this place. God is asking you to do more. God is asking you to give more. God is asking you to love more. God is asking you to forgive more. God is asking you to go outside. And you know what? And there's part of you, no, what I'm doing is good enough. Well, I would say, you know what? No. Because what you're doing is you're outside of the temple. You are being, the routine is you are sitting outside, and it's been becoming comfortable, and you're close. But I don't know about you, I don't want to be close to God. I mean, close but not in, amen? I don't want to be outside of the temple in a beautiful gate. Like, well, you know, Pastor, and I go to church, you know what? And I say, you know what? And I get my clothes ready and I go to church. Did you come to church or did you come to change? Do you want religion or do you want relationship? Do you want to be inside where the God is, or do you want to be outside in front of a beautiful gate? And people will say, oh, look, that's beautiful. Can I tell you what? It's not beautiful. It's broken. You're broken in front of a beautiful gate. You are, what you've done is you've grabbed a hold of dysfunction. Why are you so comfortable with dysfunction? Here's why. Because it's what you're familiar with. And that dysfunction is now just something that you're doing religiously. And here's what I told the worship team this on Friday. I told the sign ministry people, you know what, yesterday. God is shaking this church up. And let me tell you what. What are you looking for? You're looking for, listen, there will be, for every single one of you, there's going to be a man. There's going to be a man that brings a uncomfortable ask of change for you. For David, it was Jonathan. For this guy, it's John and Peter. Who are John and Peter? John and Peter are representations of a relationship with Jesus Christ. John and Peter are a figure of the supernatural. John and Peter are a figure of taking him, grabbing him by the hand. You talk about uncomfortable. Peter and John Peter specifically has the tenacity to grab him by the hand and lifting him up. And I'm asking, how many of you, when God is taking you by the hand, has a man that has the integrity to take you by the hand and to lift you up? And you know what? How many have the integrity to allow him to do that, to give time for the Holy Spirit to strengthen, you know, your ankles? Because let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, will rush into your body. But many people, they can't handle it. They can't hang. It's too uncomfortable. This guy had been lame since he was born. And some guys are gonna come, and they're gonna insist you get out of your routine. Absolutely. But here's the question: do you want to stay broken? Because you can be broken and religious and dysfunctional, and the whole time you're comfortable, at least, because it's your routine. And I'm saying to you, God is going to bring a man. The man who was at the pool for a long, long time, and he's arguing with Jesus, repeating to him what the problem is. So I don't know about you, I'm going through my gate. Amen. See, some people you've just attached yourself to unhappiness. You know what? You've attached yourself to only just barely enough, just whatever. You know what? You have resigned yourself to the middle. In your marriage, in your finances, in your spiritual growth, you've just made a decision. No, I don't. I like it how it is. I like the middle. I like it down here. And what I'm saying is, really? Will you allow someone? Because I've been there. I have taken people by the hand and them going, I won't let you do that. Somebody prayed this morning, and they were praying that God fill us up, fill us up, fill us up. It was a beautiful prayer. Anthony prayed this beautiful prayer. Beautiful prayer. Your son, beautiful prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Take some time and share with the people that God can only fill you up to the degree that you will be willing to be filled up. Amen. What I want, what I hear God saying, is he's saying, you know what? Love Tamara more. Don't just tell her you love her. You love her? Think she's pretty? You know, the other day, I the Holy Spirit, and I'm not working this up. No. But see, God is filling me. And God told me, send her a text. You know what? I mean, she knows I think she's beautiful. She knows I think she's gorgeous. But the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Don't make sure she understands. You don't just love her because she's gorgeous, but you love who she is. You love her. So I texted her and I said, you know what? I want you to know I love you, and I all capped the you. See what I'm saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying? Can you stop running to the middle? Can you ask the Holy Spirit? Here's what I know the Holy Spirit is saying to people. I want you to do something different. I want you to do something more. I want you to be more passionate for me. I want you to serve me more. I want you to love me more. I want you to serve others more. I'm going to give you a metrics to get into the supernatural. And when I give you that metrics, some of you, you're going to feel so uncomfortable. Well, be uncomfortable. Because in about 30 seconds, you know what? You're not going to need to beg for any coins. You're going to be able to feed yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, God's not telling you this because he is into getting you uncomfortable. He's telling you this because he's trying to get you out of the mess you're in, the complacency that you're in, into the promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there are big, bad, you know what, you know, lions and tigers and bears, but don't do the oh my. Because those lions and tigers and bears have built houses that are for you. Okay, I'm sorry. I got to stop. Amen. Let me ask you this. Do you hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm just asking. You don't feel obligated to raise your hand. But even before you came in, did you feel the Holy Spirit quicken you to do something more, to press the envelope, and your flesh felt uncomfortable? How many would say, Pastor, you are spot on. You absolutely nailed it. How many raise your hand and say that's okay? How many of you, as I was preaching this, you know what, you felt that happening? So if you felt that happening while I was preaching it, or you sensed it before, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, I know what you're saying to us. Help us. You're the helper. Help people to be strong and courageous. I speak strength and I speak courage. In the face of what their family thinks, in the face of what their relatives think, in the face of what their friends think, in the face of even what they think, I thank you that we will not lean into our own understanding, but we will be obedient to what you ask us to do. Father, help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.